Tonight, if you have your Bibles, the book of Isaiah, once again, chapter 9, verse number 6. As we read last Sunday, we'll read once again tonight the same passage of Scripture, and then we'll be reading also in the book of Psalms, number 73. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, then Psalm number 73. We're using verse number 6 for the next 6 weeks. And we're in a series trying to take this name that is given to the Lord Jesus Christ and see what it has to say to us and how it can be a help to us. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called." Now that's what we're entitling the entire series, "His Name Shall Be Called." And then you notice here what is written. It says, "Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I believe that the last statement there in verse number 7 is so very important, because we find that the only way that it's going to be accomplished is that the zeal of the Lord will perform it. The zeal of God, the work of God in the life of individuals, in the life of this world, in the life of the governmental authorities, the zeal of the Lord will perform that Jesus Christ will rule and He shall reign. Now, if you would, turn to the book of Psalm number 73, verse number 24. Psalm number 73, verse number 24. The Bible says there in that verse, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Now, we're talking tonight and speaking tonight upon this second portion of the name that is given to the Son and to the child that is born. Last week we noticed that His name shall be called Wonderful. Well, this week we want to notice that His name shall be called Counselor. And I'm glad tonight, if there ever was a counselor, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says there in Psalm, when we read, it says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." The guiding hand and the guidance of the Lord, the counsel of God, is the most important thing in the life of a Christian, because without His guidance, without His counsel, we would be like a wind that go to and fro. We'd be like the waves of the sea that's tossed about. We'd be like one that has no stability whatsoever. But I'm glad the counsel of God can guide us. And then the latter portion of that verse, and says, "And afterward, receive me to glory." All through this life, He's going to counsel us, but one day He's going to receive us into glory. He gives us counsel to walk this world and to live for Him. He teaches us, He trains us in the ways of righteousness for His namesake, and He counsels us through all that. But then that Scripture says afterward. I'm looking forward to that afterward. I'm looking forward to that afterward, because afterward He's going to take us to glory. Afterward He's going to take us to where He is, that where we shall be throughout all eternity. "But for unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government shall be upon His shoulder." Now these governments in which we're living today are tossed to and fro. But the government of God, the government of this wonderful one, this counselor, that government's going to be upon His shoulder, and that represents and shows to us that it's going to be a government of stability. Now, America tonight is very unstable. Now, we may think that we live in a very stable society, and we'll get up in the morning and that everything will be just like it is today, but that may not be the case. Our government's not as stable as it used to be. And we live in times past, really, in our mind. We're living in days gone by when everything was well and everything was right. But we're living in troublesome times now. We're living in, I believe, the perilous times. I believe we're living in the last moments of the last days. And we may be living in the last seconds of the last moments of the last days. And one of these days soon, and very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And all eyes of the world are focused upon that little parcel of ground that God gave to Abraham. And just a few weeks ago, everything was looking differently, and everything was looking somewhere else. And we were talking about Europe, and we were talking about Asia. But now the focal point and the view of everyone is upon that portion of land once again in the Middle East. And all the things that are going on. And it thrills my heart because I know the author of this book, and I know what he says is going to take place. And I'm so glad tonight that I'm saved, that I'm born again. If we go out of here today and we walk out these doors and never come in this building and we meet in heaven, it'd be far better to our advantage as a child of God. But all this world is in such a terrible, terrible condition. But I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ is the counselor. Amen. Now, there's a lot of folks tonight that are having problems. There's a lot of Christians that are having problems. And there's a counselor that can take care of those problems. This world has a lot of problems tonight. And folks that have set their heart and their mind on the things of this world, they're really in trouble. The Bible says in the latter days that men's hearts shall fail them because of fear. And I believe literally, they're in talking about and reading that verse, I believe literally that some people will literally die because of fear when they see everything that's coming upon this world. And folks, when we think about all the armament, I tell you what, it would scare you and I if we realized exactly what we do have. What kind of firepower and what kind of artillery and all the things. Well, it would scare us if we knew what we've got and if we knew what the enemy had, and one day they may clash. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe in the last nuclear holocaust that will take care of all of us and blow us out of here. I'm not worried about that, but I do believe there's comes time that there's going to be problems. And we're seeing it. I believe we're seeing it come before our very eyes. Some things are going to happen. You don't send a force of 17,000 men just to play tiddlywinks over there in the desert. And they're emptying out Fort Campbell down here, and every one of them's going, and all the equipment's going. They're not doing that just to play games. Folks, the world knows something's going to happen. May it be the coming of our Savior. Amen. May that be the reality that we see in these days ahead. And so we're living in times that people's minds are literally being twisted and turned and manipulated. And there's a lot of people that are having not just spiritual problems, but they're having real problems and they need a counselor. Well, I'm glad I know the one that is the counselor. Amen. I'm glad I know the one that he is the counselor of the Almighty God. Last week we noticed that he was wonderful and how that takes care of the dullness of our life. Sometimes life gets so dull, doesn't it? Sometimes you just do the same old thing day after day, day after day, day after day, week after week, month after month. You go to the same job, you punch the same buttons, you do the same thing, you see the same people, and things are so dull. Boy, you get to think about the wonderful Savior. That take care of some of the dullness. That take care of the same old things, day in, day out, routine of things. But tonight we're going to look at the counselor, and that takes care of our decisions and the directions of our life, how that he can direct us and how that he will help us. Now, when problems come to people, some people will, and most people, turn somewhere. They're going to go one way, one direction or another. When problems come, some folks will turn to the local downtown bar. Thank God in this county we don't have that, not at least not open where everybody can see it. I'm sure there are some. You can go down there to the Elks and the Eagles and all that other mess. We know they got, because they raid it once a year and take care of that. But I'm glad we don't have it open where people see it. But when people get in trouble and their minds are troubled, they turn somewhere. Many of them turn to the bar and they turn to the bottle. And that's a wrong place to turn. A lot of folks, they'll turn to a fortune teller or to a palm reader. And that's the wrong place to turn. They'll try to find out what's going to happen. My goodness, I don't want to know what's in the future. I have hard enough time with with this present time. I have hard enough time with this nasty now that I live in to think about what is going to be yet in the future. I don't want to know, but I'm glad I know the one that does know, the one that controls the future. I know him, and therefore the Bible tells me he's going to take care of me. But they're going to turn to a bottle. They're going to turn to a fortune teller. They're going to do those different things. Many of them will go to the doctor. Oh, I tell you, if you could just get doctors to be honest. I wish I could get a doctor just to be honest and tell you how much of their business is by people that think they're sick and have need, and when they really don't have any need of anything. But they have troubled minds and they have troubled hearts, and so they've got to turn somewhere to get relief. They'll turn to a pill bottle. They'll turn to tranquilizers. They'll turn to uppers and downers and all that other stuff. They'll go everywhere. They'll go to some doctor that's just wicked enough to give them what they want and take their money and do all that. Some people turn that way. Some people turn to the preacher. But I tell you what, folks, the place we better turn is to the Lord God of heaven. Now, I want folks to know and realize that that I'm available. When anybody needs to talk to me, my phone is there. I'm available. If you can catch me at home, I'm there. Sometimes I'm there. And when my phone's working, and if I'm there, you can call me anytime that you want to call me, and we'll set up a time, and if it's that night, I'll talk to you about problems that the Word of God can help you with. But I want you to know that I am not a counselor. I don't have any. That's not my calling. Now, I know a lot of folks, they're really hung up on this thing of Christian counseling. I believe this right here takes care of most of it. I believe the preaching of the Word of God will take care of 95-98% of our problems. If people will just listen to what the Word of God said, and if the preacher will put it out, I believe that book right there and that man in heaven will take care of our problem. He is the counselor. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, our supreme counselor. The Bible says in John chapter number 6, in verse number 68, the Apostle Peter said and asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Peter said, the Lord looked at Peter and he looked at his disciples and said, "Are you going to leave too?" And Peter said, "Lord, who are we going to go to? If we leave, where are we going to go?" "Why, Lord, you're the one that has the answers. You're the one that has the words to eternal life." And I talk to people sometimes that's just getting ready to get out of the will of God, getting ready to get out of the things of the Lord, and I ask them, I say, "Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Where are you going to turn? What's going to happen in your life when you reject and you turn your back on the one that can help you?" Then we find that the Scriptures tell us that we continually are to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. His name shall be called Counselor. Now, you know, we noted last week that these are not names of the Lord, but His name, singular, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. We find tonight He is the Counselor. There's not a person in this world, there's not a person in this building, whether you be young or old, there's not a one in here that does not need the Lord's counsel. We need God. We've got to have God. If we're going to survive, if we're going to work the work of God, we've got to have the guidance of the Lord. All a counselor does is to guide you and take you down a path that'll help you, if he's the right kind or she's the right kind of counselor. Turn, if you would, with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter number 10, verse number 23. You see, we need the Lord, and so therefore we've got to go to Him. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." It's not in our it's not in our ability to direct our steps the way we ought to go. Invariably, if we start walking our own way, we're going to go the wrong direction. If we start doing our own thing, then our thing is going to be a different from the Lord. What He wants, because He says His ways are higher than our ways. His words are greater than our words, and His work is greater than our work. And so Jeremiah learned a lesson. He said, "Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." There's the problem tonight that we have. We think the way of man is found right here. We think we can figure it out. We think when problems come along, we can just figure this out, and we'll do this, and that'll work that way, and we'll take this, and we'll move it over here, and that'll work, and this'll work, and that'll work. But the way of man is not found in himself. Notice here what else he says. And it says, "It is not in man that walketh." It's not in a man that's able to take a step to direct his paths. Our paths tonight as a Christian ought to be under the direct influence and leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Everything that we do, everything that we say, every place that we go, every decision that we make, every problem that comes our way, we ought to be directed by the Holy Spirit, that one that lives within us. You see, the Lord said, "When I go," He told His disciples there in the Gospel of John, He said, "When I go, I'm going to send another comforter." That word comforter, that's an interesting word. It doesn't just mean a comforter, but it means an enforcer. He's going to send one that's going to enforce His word upon us. He's going to show us. He's going to direct us. He's going to take us down the path of life that we cannot go in our own way. We cannot do it. It's not in man to direct his own path. We don't have the ability to do that. We don't have the way to do that. We've got to depend upon the Lord. And there's where we've got ourselves in such a mess tonight, is that we depend on everything except God. Everything. We look to finances. We look to family. We look to friends. We look everywhere except the God of heaven. And we're not going to get anything done until we look back to the Lord. I was watching, I like to watch the news. Now, some people don't. That's your business. I like to watch the news, just see what's going on. Now, I know the news is so colored, and it's so, you just barely can get the truth of it. And it's so manipulated that we don't really know what's going on, that we think we do. But I was watching this afternoon, and I thought how that everything is so centered around this stuff that we carry in our back pocket. Boy, I mean, these greenbacks, these Washingtons. That's all what I know, Washington. That's the dollar. I know him pretty well. I don't even know who's on the... there's Jackson. It's not Jesse either. On the 20. But we have so many things that are so bound up by finances. I was listening to these fellas down in Texas. Oh, boy, I mean, they see dollar signs. Oh, my. They see everything getting ready to pump back up like it was a few years ago. And this one guy, he said, I'm sure glad that fellow's over there in Iraq. I thought, you fool you. You know what he's concerned about? He's like 90% of the Americans today. He's not concerned about anything except what he can get out of it. Just what he can get. It doesn't matter if they kill our boys and take the cream of the crop. It doesn't matter if they overrun country after country just so I get a dollar out of it. Amen. He's sitting there drinking his booze and all that junk. One day he'll face God. That's the only thing that keeps my righteous indignation. I realize that one day God will take care of that crowd. It's not our place to do that, but it's the Lord's. If we're not careful, we'll let those things twist our mind and say, well, what's the use? But there's where the counselor comes on the scene. There's where Jesus Christ comes, and we find that he is a counselor. We cannot direct our steps. Our heart is too sinful to do that. We cannot direct our steps because our mind is so severely limited. Now, that really makes people upset, but our minds are limited tonight. We're limited. We're not as smart as we think we are. We're not as great as we think we are. And we are just simply too limited to be able to direct our path. We're just like that proverbial saying that we just don't have enough sense to get in out of the rain. That's about where we stand when it comes to God. We just don't have enough sense to do that. We're not able. We're too limited in our mental capacities to direct our paths. We're too surrounded by ungodliness, and it has an effect upon us. But I'm glad the counselor in heaven, he's not affected by any of that. And therefore, he can, and he is the great almighty counselor. The giving of counsel to his children, I believe, is one of God's most gracious works. When our hearts are troubled, he said, let not your heart be troubled. When we're in despair and we're walking through valleys, the Lord said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am with thee. All the things, everything that comes our way, we find that the Lord is there to take our hand and to hold on to us and to help us, to guide us and direct us. He graciously gives counsel unto his children. The coming to Christ as counselor strengthens us. It matures us. It makes us adults in the work of God. If troubles never did come, wonder where we'd be. I've heard people say, boy, I wish I'd never have any trouble. Well, if you didn't have any trouble, you wouldn't know anything about the counselor. If you didn't have anything going on in the valleys, you wouldn't know how great the mountaintops are. Amen. If you didn't have any problems come your way, you wouldn't know the sweetness of peace. If you didn't have any difficulties, you wouldn't know the joy of knowing everything is well between you and God. All these things come to us, but we have a counselor that helps us, and he'll direct our ways and our paths. The ideal counselor must be qualified. If you're going to go to a counselor, then you're going to hunt out somebody that's got the papers to be a counselor. Now, I wouldn't dare put out an advertisement or anything and say, Lawrence Richardson, religious counselor. No. I don't want that. One reason, I don't have the papers to qualify me for that. You see, in most states, if you're going to advertise something, you better have something to back it up. I don't have that training. I don't want that training. Don't come up and say, I'll help you get it. No, I don't want that. I'm a preacher, and that's all God's ever called me to do. But if we're going to go to a counselor, then you're going to search out somebody that is expert in what your problem is. I'm glad the counselor, I know he's an expert in every problem. He's an expert, he's worthy, he's the ideal, he's qualified in every fashion and form of life. Jesus is qualified. Why? He's the eternal God. The Bible says in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2 and verse number 9. If you would, turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter number 8 and verse number 22. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 22. We find here in the Old Testament a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 22 and the following verses. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way before His work of old. Now notice verse 23. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was, when there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set the compass upon the face of the death, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him at one brought up with Him. That can be none other than the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before all these things were, Jesus said, I was there. Well, I'm glad, thank God, when the book of Genesis, God says, let us make man in our image. Well, who was He talking to? He wasn't talking to some pre-Adamic caveman that didn't know anything, drug his wife around by the hair of the head. He wasn't talking to that us. He was talking to Himself, talking to the Godhead. And Jesus Christ said, before God put the dust on the highest hill, I was there. That makes Him qualified to be my counselor. That makes Him rightfully able to say, I can take your cares and you can put them on me. I'll take care of them. Not only is He qualified in that He's the eternal God, but I'm glad that He was and is also a man. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, one day came forth, born of a virgin, and made a man. Made in the image and the likeness of a man. And He resurrected from the dead and He went, ascended into heaven as a man. And He's there to take care of my problems. So many times we think of Jesus Christ, we think of Him as a spirit in heaven. No. He's sitting there at the right hand of the throne of God. He's got the scars in His hands, His feet, His riven side, maybe even scars around the brow of His face that was placed there by the Roman soldier. And He's there as a man tonight making intercession for you and I as our counselor. Oh, He's our great God and counselor. He's the God of heaven. He said, I was before, but I came as a man, and He shall be hereafter. And so we find that He is qualified to be a counselor. Not only that, but He loves me. Now, if you're going to seek out a counselor, you better find somebody that has some care about you. And I'm glad my Savior does care. He cares for us. Counselors are warned not to get involved. You can talk to any counselor down here at the hospital or the clinic, and they'll tell you, if they'll be truthful with you, they'll tell you that all through their training, they were warned and warned and warned, don't get emotionally involved in those patients that you see. Oh, my counselor, he gets emotionally involved with me. He takes care. And I believe he weeps with me and he sorrows with me. He knows my desires and my needs. Why? Because he loves me. He gets involved in it. Amen. He's my counselor. He's the one that can take care of my needs. Not only does he love me, not only does he get involved, but he encourages me. He does not protect us from problems, but he prepares us for problems. Now, sometimes we put forth the wrong idea to people when we talk to them. When we talk to somebody that needs the Lord, if we're not careful, we'll give them the idea that when they get saved, all their problems go out the window and it's all over with. No wonder they don't survive, because that's when their problems just begin. Amen. You see, the world, when we're in the world, we don't have a problem with the devil. He owns us. But when we're taken out of the kingdom of darkness and we're placed over here in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His dear Son, and all of a sudden all that is no longer a part of us, we are having problems. And I'm glad He's there to be my counselor. He does not protect me from my problems, but He does help me with them. He provides a way that I can get through those. He prepares me for my problems. He takes care of that. He's patient with us. How many of you ever went to a doctor? I'm not talking about a counselor now. Just go to a doctor and he's just very impatient with you. How many times you go back to that fellow? Not very many times. He's in a hurry and he hustles, bustles. I mean, he goes to and fro, and I thank the Lord I don't have to go to doctors very much. Every once in a while I get a cold or something like that, but I haven't had any problems in my health, and I thank God for that. And I do. I appreciate what the Lord's done for my health. We've been here in Madisonville 11 years, almost 12 years now, and we've never have I gone to that clinic. Now, I've gone to some doctors, but I haven't had any major problems, and I thank God for that, because it can be changed very quickly. It can take over. But I tell you what, if you got me in a doctor's office and he didn't act like he cared about me, I wouldn't give him another dime. If I'm just a number on a piece of paper, if I'm just like a herd of cattle going through and nobody cares, I'm not going back to that. But my God's not like that. He cares for me. He does. He helps me. He's patient with me. And when I falter and when I fail, he's there to pick me up and say, "All right, son, get up, let's try it again." So many times, folks, when you're down, then they'll kick you. We ought to take a lesson from the Lord. Every time the Lord found someone down, he picked them up. He didn't kick them. He didn't try to run over them. He didn't try to destroy them. He just said, "Let's try it again." And how we need to take some of that same attitude. Because one day it may be me that's down. One day it may be you. One day it may be you and you and you, all of us. But we better be careful snubbing our nose at the fellow on the side of the road that's been left half dead. We better be careful, or we'll be like that old priest. And he said, "I can't do anything." We better be careful, we'll be like that Levite. And he didn't care. But oh, may we be like the Samaritan. And he came and bent down and helped him. The Bible says he went over to where it was. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me one day. He came to where I was. He came to where you were. He came to where that we had a need. He knew that. And he came down and he bent down and he helped us and saved us and gave us a new way. Put us on his own beast. Took us to an inn. Told the innkeeper, said, "You take care of this fellow. And whatever you spend on him," he said, "when I come back, I'll repay you." Doesn't matter what you spend on God, he's going to repay you when he comes back. That good Samaritan is a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he took that fellow to an inn, that one that's left for dead, that picture's old sinner that's dying, going to hell. The Samaritan came along and touched him, put him on his own beast, and made him whole again. Took him to an inn that represents the house of God. And he told the innkeeper, said, "You take care of him." And folks, that's the only place that we have places where we can be taken care of, is the house of God. You don't get in the national clubs and all that junk. You get in the house of God. And he gave him a certain amount of money. He gave him 2 days' wages, and he said, "If I'm gone longer than that," said, "when I come, you go ahead and take care of him." Those 2 days' wages, I don't know, that could, you can really stretch it there. A day is as 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is a day. And he gave him enough to take care of him. He said, "If I'm gone a little longer than this, when I come again, I shall repay you." Everything that we do, God's going to repay us. Whatever we spend, he's going to take care of that. He's the counselor. He's the one that is patient. He's the one that knows my heart. He's the one, the Bible says, he prayed for me there in John chapter 17, verse number 20. The book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 said that he ever liveth to make intercession. He prays for me consistently. He prays for me constantly in the things of the Lord. An ideal counselor is one that's qualified. And my Savior is qualified. Ideal counselor is one with whom we can speak freely. Aren't you glad you can just talk to the Lord and just be yourself? Now, we can talk to each other, and whether we want to admit it or not, we put on the false face. We try to make people think everything's well when everything in our heart is really, our soul is being disrupted and disturbed, and it doesn't show on our face. We have learned in America, we have learned to keep in our feelings, that no one would know that I'm in trouble. Or when you go to a counselor, you let it all out. When you go to the Lord, you can just say, "Lord, here I am. Needy, oh, how needy I am." You might as well tell him the truth. He already knows it anyway. When you go to the Lord, he's the one that we can speak freely to. He can be reached, and he's not too far away. He knows all about it. Never will he turn us down. Look in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John, chapter number 15. If I can get there. John chapter 15, verse number 15. Says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. There's my counselor speaking to me. And he says, everything that my Father has, I've given to you. And folks, we have it right here. I hold it in my hand. We have it in our bedrooms. We have it in our living rooms. But he said, we're more than servants, we're friends. A servant doesn't know what his master is going to do. A servant doesn't know what's going to happen. But Jesus told his disciples, said, all that the Father's told me, I've given to you. And folks, we have the divine revelation of God tonight. And everything that the Father has told the Son, he has given to us. Just freely said, here it is. Take it, read it, believe it, and then obey it. The counselor, he's the one. He's sympathetic to me. And he's the one that will carry out his counsel. Now, there's a lot of folks you go to, and they'll give you counsel and say, I'll help you do this, but they're not able to do that. A lot of times the counselors you go to, they'll die before they perform what they said they would do. But I'm glad my counselor, he ever liveth to make intercession. I'm glad he's able. I'm glad he will live to perform what he said that he would do. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Then in closing, I want to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 2, verse number 1 through 5. I think this would be a fitting way to close this message here tonight. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, my son, if thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searcheth for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Oh, tonight, if we want these things, if we search and seek after that, I'm glad I have a counselor that'll give me those things. He's the one that can still the troubled waters. He's the one that can take your mind and make it at peace. I heard some testimonies a couple of weeks ago there at camp of some people that literally the devil had so taken them and almost literally destroyed their lives. And they said, I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus Christ took it and took it away. You see, we live in a world, the devil's not just after our bodies. He's after our minds. It's real. Depression comes and problems come and worries come. That's when we better go to our face and say, oh God, you're my counselor. Would you help me? We're facing some troublesome times, some terrible days ahead of us. I really believe that. And we better know who our counselor is. And then put the two messages together. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He is a wonderful counselor to me tonight. And I know that he is to you if you'll look to him. If you'll let him have his way in your life. Let's stand tonight. His name shall be called Counselor. You have a need tonight? You have a problem tonight? Is the devil working on your heart? The devil working on your mind? You better know who to go to. You don't have to turn to a bottle. And by the way, there are some Christians that I believe have really been saved. And before they get really grounded in the Word of God, something will happen. They'll turn to the back of the old things of life. And they're not going to stay there. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to live there. But they'll turn back there. Why? They've sought counsel at the wrong place. There may be folks tonight that have problems, and sometimes young people. Oh, my heart goes out to teenagers. Boy, I tell you, the problems, the forces, and the evil that's around and there, many times they'll turn to the bottle, they'll turn to drugs, they'll turn to everything else. When all they have to do is turn to the wonderful counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one problem in America tonight with the young people is the thing of alcoholism, drug addiction. You know why? Because they don't know where to turn to. They have no sense of direction. You know why that? Because this generation has not taught them that he's the counselor. Amen. We have not taught them, we have not shown them that within ourselves we have no ability to direct our life, what I told you tonight. And so when troubles come and changes come in our life and in our body, they don't know how to handle it, so they turn somewhere to get relief, and there's no relief there. I'm glad tonight that I have a wonderful counselor. His name is, if you're here tonight and you're lost without God, without hope, and you don't know which way to turn, what to do, if you'll just turn over to this counselor, if you'll come to him and face yourself as you really are, in hopeless, a helpless need of a Savior. Can't do it on your own. If you'll turn to Him, I guarantee you the authority of the Word of God that He'll come and He'll give you counsel. He'll save your soul.
Amen.
He'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. He'll do that because He's promised it. And then, Christian, tonight, no turning anywhere else, because we've got to be like Peter. When Peter said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? If we leave, where are we going? If we leave God, where's the answer? If we leave the house of God, where are we going to go?" Peter said, "Lord, You're the one that has the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go if we leave You?" Tonight, that same instruction is given to us. If we leave, where are we going? If we get out of the will of God, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? We better turn to our Counselor. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. My Father, tonight, I pray that You'd take this message. Help us, Lord, to direct our ways according to Thee. May we look to You and to know that we cannot do it on our own. I cannot go the way alone. Lord, we've got to have help. And Father, I pray tonight, if there's those here, if anyone in this building is lost and undone, oh dear God, may this Spirit of the Lord speak to their heart, make them realize their need, and may they be willing to come, fall upon their face at an old-fashioned altar, and come to know Christ as Savior. Tonight we ask You these things, and may You help Christians to be obedient. If there's difficulties and problems, may we look to Thee for our help. Our help comes from heaven. Oh God, may You do that tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, Brother Roddy? Page number 370. I need Thee every hour. Oh, dear people, my friends, if there ever was an hour we need God, it's tonight. I believe we ought to be in much prayer about the situations of life. There's some, we don't know what's going to happen. There's some folks that have people that are young boys that are of age to go to war. We don't know that won't come back again. Nobody gives us that assurance. We don't know. And we better be willing. We better know who our counsel is. Because if it gets away, God tells us it's going to get one of these days. We're going to have to go to a counselor. Don't turn to the bottle. Don't turn to those things. But turn to God. He's the counselor. I need Thee every hour. Every hour of our life, we need the Lord God of heaven. Tonight as we sing.